This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 287. Today, AC and I are going to look forward to 2019, recorded live January 17th, 2019. Are you being asked repeatedly to integrate different business systems in ever narrower timeframes and with increasing process complexity? What if you could standardize the way you build these business processes so your team are focusing on higher value tasks versus the nuts and bolts of running the processes and integrations? Nintex can make it happen. With a Nintex platform, work flows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. Got a custom system you want to connect with? No-code extensions let you plug into systems simply and easily using REST and Swagger. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever. Try it out free for 30 days at www.nintex.com/try-NWC. AC, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad we're looking forward to 2019, 17 days into it. So I got a little bit of a break, but how about you?
Yeah, me too. Pretty good, actually. Back from travels. And today's actually the first day. I got back on Monday night. It was a 36-hour trip back door to door. So from the time I woke up in the morning to the time I was sitting on my couch at home was 36 hours. It was kind of ridiculous. So anyway, today is the first day I'm feeling even moderately back in the land of the living. Yesterday and the day before were just brutal. not good. So, but yeah, back in action, back at work, obviously, and feeling a little bit more alive today. How about you?
I'm good. I wish I could say I've been more productive in the last week. Since we last got together, I lost an entire 2 days being tech support for family. And, you always bitch about this, but my dad reset and did not pay attention to his Apple ID password. And then
are the worst to try and reset.
Oh, no. I can level up on this one.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Yeah. He always has tech issues. He used to have a laptop. Then I was like, all right, let's get rid of the Windows machine. We're going to get you a Mac because that's going to be easier to work with. It's less kind of things to fiddle with and whatever. So that didn't work. So finally last year I gave up and I'm like, you know what? You don't get a laptop anymore. You get an iPad. Here's an iPad. I'm going to get you the big 12-inch iPad. Take it, keyboard, done. You cannot screw up an iPad. You can't screw up a phone. You can't screw up an iPad. It's simple.
Yep.
And he came over to drop my mom's phone off because she was getting a brand new phone. She got a brand new phone and so he brought me her old phone and her new phone. And I was going to do the whole backup, restore, setup, swap SIMs, da, da, da.
Yeah.
And as he's leaving, he's like, I've got these two red messages of things to deal with on my phone. And that's what kind of uncovered. Oh, hey, look, it was a classic carrier settings have to be updated, but you got to put your PIN number in on the phone to do that. Mm. And one of them was also log in to your Apple ID. Well, we found the password problem. I was like, all right, fine. How do we fix this? The way you reset your password is you have your Apple device and it pops open their multi-factor auth 6-digit code.
Yeah.
Well, part of that is even if you can get into your phone, you have to still plug your PIN number on your phone to be able to get past that. And he asked me, he got into his phone and I'm like, I need your PIN number. And he just looked at me like I was a complete stranger. I'm like, your PIN number, the thing you type into your phone to get into it. He goes, I just go like this. I was like, oh, well, Touch ID. Okay, so you get in that way. But when that doesn't work, what do you use for the PIN number, you put in? He's like, you just kind of stare at me. I'm like, the 4-digit number you plug in. And he's like, and he didn't have a clue what I was talking about. I'm like, I set this up
really, for you. Really? Because that happens every time you reboot the phone as well. Or when it's been updated or what have you.
Yeah. And I asked him, he just looked at me like I'm a complete idiot. I'm like, okay, this is bad. If you don't know your Apple ID and you don't know the PIN number, this is something we have to get fixed right now because you have to get it done right now. And they were getting ready to go out of town. I guess they left today. And so it started 2 days ago. And long story, a little bit shorter, I sent him home to go get his iPad and to hopefully he could get into that one. Sat down and go, okay, here's your iPad. Now, how do you get into this one? And he just stared at me. I'm like, this doesn't even have a Touch ID. This is an old mini. He has an old mini and a big 12-inch. Don't ask me why he doesn't like to read the Wall Street Journal on the big 12-inch. He only wants his old mini that's 4 years old. But anyway, and he just stared at me and I'm like, I just get so frustrated. I'm like, how is this going on? And so I finally just took the mini and I gave it to him and I shut it off and I gave it to him and I go, hey, show me what was on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. And he picked it up and the PIN number showed up and he typed it in. And he said, I'm like, stop. That's what I was asking you.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, that's what I've been asking you. And he's like, you said you wanted a PIN number. I'm like, that was a 4-digit number he gave you. He goes, yeah, but that's not a PIN number. I'm like, what do you look for as a PIN? He said, what do you think a PIN? I said, what do you think a PIN number is? And he goes, the thing on your ATM card. I'm like, it's just a code.
Gotcha.
It's just, and so I grab it. And of course, the PIN number on his iPad was the same on his phone, which was even worse. It was the actual PIN number on my mom's phone that she had told me. So I hadn't tried her PIN number on his phone to get into it. And it would have saved us a ton of time.
Yeah, you don't want to type that too many times incorrectly, right? I've heard horrifying stories where, with Apple IDs especially, they're really hard. If you get locked out, they're super hard to get back into. You know, like there are recovery codes that you should go into your Apple ID and put somewhere else that's not protected by your Apple ID. Like, because the recovery codes are the only, like if you've got multi-factor auth turned on, apparently those codes, if you don't have those, kiss your Apple account goodbye. Like it's so hard to get into. So yeah, get the recovery codes.
The other thing to it that I learned was that, did you know that if you don't have the PIN number on your phone and you want to get it removed, the only way you could do it is to completely wipe your phone and start over. And no, you can't back it up or anything. You have to completely wipe it. So I was like, you're going to lose everything. I said, your stuff is in Office 365, but you're going to lose everything on your phone. No, I'm like, I'm not the one that lost the PIN. I've told you this before.
Anyway. Oh, dude, I hate parental support, IT support. I got out of it years ago and outsourced it. And my parents are much happier for it. Mm. And so am I.
I expect you are. I mean, the calls have gone.
I have the benefit of being remote, though.
It just drives me nuts. So I told him one time, I was like, bring me your iPad. What is he? Or bring me your laptop. I need that to do the backup of your phone. And what did he do? He brought my iPad. He goes, this is my laptop. And I'm like, no, it's not your laptop. It's, if you can take the keyboard off, then it's not a laptop. Like, what about those Microsoft things? I'm like, you don't have one of those Microsoft things. Anyway.
Do you still have the box for this? Yes. Put it back in.
I really want to take it away from him. I want to give him a flip phone and just be like, that's it. That's all that you're allowed to have.
Yeah. So. You've been cut off. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a very exciting episode ahead. We are doing our wishes for the year ahead and we're looking forward and we're also sort of throwing things in the mix here around our goals for the next year as well. But before we get into that, why don't we break for two of our amazing sponsors?
Struggling to reproduce problems in your code base? Successful software starts with Raygun. Raygun provides application performance monitoring, unlike anything you've experienced before, offering greater clarity around how your software is performing for your customers than any other APM provider. Easily detect and diagnose issues impacting end users and monitor every part of your stack in one place. It's time to get back to building great software instead of fighting it. Start your journey to better software quality. Try Raygun free at raygun.com today.
Hey, we all know that sometimes shift happens. That's why this spring, the inaugural Shift Happens conference will be coming to Washington, D.C. on June 12th to June 13th. Hear from industry heavy hitters, change agents, and innovators as they share digital transformation wisdom. With keynotes by Microsoft's Jeff Tepper and Tony Townes-Whitley and analyst insights from Constellation and Forrester Research, this event is not to be missed. Over 2 days, find out how to get the most out of your Office 365 and SharePoint investments and hear about the successes and failures firsthand from some of the largest and most regulated organizations. For more information, visit www.shifthappenscon.com and use the discount code CLOUDSHOW for 25% off registration for both single and group discounts. Okay, this is a fun episode. I really love looking forward. I love looking forward for the year ahead. And I really like this change that we made. Rather than our predictions, these are our wishes. So these are just things that we would love to see have happen, but in a lot of chance, in a lot of likelihood, probably won't. But hey, we can still wish.
Yeah, we can still wish. I agree with you. I like the switch we made. There's another podcast that I listen to that they do a really good job of, they do wishes and predict, or they do goals and predictions every year. And I think they finally called themselves out on it. The last 3 years, they both have been predicting a downturn in the global economy, and they keep missing it. And it's just like, you can't keep calling the same thing. Eventually it's going to be true. Like, keep calling heads on that penny and you're going to eventually hit heads. But yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I want to go first this one, because I always feel like one of my wishes always ends up being
snagged by me. Yeah.
Yeah. You've snagged it the last 2 years. And I know that this first one is I saw your wishes. I can see them. And I saw that you were going to do it again. And I was like, no. Mine are literally first on the dock. And so I'm going to go first on mine.
Hey, ladies first. I was going to ask you first anyway. I mean, it's only fair. I'm hosting, right? So you get to go first. So AC, in no particular order.
Yep.
We're going to go back and forth on this. So what's your first one?
So I have one that is, let's say mine is, one of mine is positive. One of mine is kind of serious, but I'm not terribly optimistic. And then the last one is, I hope to God that this finally gets done, but we'll see. So the first one is the SharePoint framework turns into the Office 365 extensibility framework. And this is something I think that I might have used this last year or part of this last year. I think that you did too. And the nice thing is I think it's happening. I think it's part happening, but I want it to go more full bore. So the SharePoint framework is, you know, a great way to extend SharePoint. They do a really good job of updating, say, new releases. Like anything else, I would love for them to release more stuff faster. But even at the cadence that they're on, they're releasing stuff tremendously quicker than they did in the past. The part that I think where this is already starting to come to fruition is we're seeing the SharePoint framework being a very viable extensibility option for Teams-based development. Mm. So if I want to go through and build a custom Teams tab, I'm personally going to use the SharePoint framework to do that now, because Teams doesn't work well offline or at all. I don't know, maybe not even at all. But there are things like, if you're going to call a secured service, I was talking to a guy earlier today and he was telling me, like, here's what I have to do. I'm trying to figure out how to do it in SharePoint framework. I'm like, oh, it's easy. If it's a service that's secure with Azure AD, SharePoint framework already has all the plumbing you need. You don't even have to create an Azure AD app. You just give SharePoint access to that endpoint and it gets the token for you and sends it along. And then you can inspect the token, what the user is that got it. So what I would like to see with them go with this is I would like to see this model extend to Office add-ins. I would like to see this model and where I can just build something as a web part and have it be an Office add-in extension as well, instead of having to use the model that they've given us.
Yeah.
So that's my first wish I would like to see them go.
Absolutely fair. And I think we're in agreement on this. Like, wouldn't it be great? Like, just that seamless kind of one throat to choke kind of model would be awesome.
It really would. I mean, and from the team's point of view, guys, especially for the Office add-in point of view, guys, nobody's building those things, or very few people are building them. SharePoint framework has taken off. So if you can co-opt that entire community to extend that and say that here's another option for it, I just think it makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
No, that's a good call.
How about you for your first wish?
My first one, something a little bit different. I wish Microsoft would get back in the mobile game, and specifically around note-taking. So many years ago, there was this guy called Jay Allard who worked at Microsoft, who was, like, at the time when Microsoft was sort of old and a bit stodgy, he was walking around with, like, funky shoes and cool clothes, right? He was that kind of guy. And he worked on Xbox. He was the guy who convinced Bill Gates that the internet was going to be a big thing.
Mm.
He was the one that convinced them to stick. I think it was at the time, it was like to bake TCP, IP and all that into Windows and get connected to the internet in a big way. And I think do IE and do stuff like that. But yeah, anyway, he ran this project, this sort of internal project that never really came to fruition, that many of our listeners probably remember, called Courier. Mm-hmm. And it was this foldable note-taking device way before iPad came about. And I think Microsoft can do a good job at this if they don't try to boil the ocean. And if they just make a really solid note-taking device, I think they could do it. And I would love to see them get into that.
Consumer-grade thing or enterprise-grade thing?
In all honesty, I would start with consumer-grade thing.
I think that's the problem they run into, is they go enterprise and then it's like, all right, group policy, and there's all that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, just keep it simple.
I think they've got enough there with OneNote and OneDrive and personal note-taking and all that sort of stuff that they could make a really nice offering there. Who knows if they'll stop there, but you know, I just hope they don't try to put all of their feet in all of the sides of the pie, so to speak, all their fingers in all the pieces of the pie. That's a better analogy. And, you know, sort of do a half-baked job at a lot of things.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good one. That's a, you have held on to this wish for a long time. Not that you keep using it every year, but I know that this is, I know this is one of those like little, that like your pie in the ocean thing where you just, you're going to be so giddy when you see this, if this announcement ever comes true.
And there are rumors, right? There are rumors about a foldable device from Microsoft, and we haven't seen it, but they made Surface Mini and then canceled the project. Like there's a warehouse somewhere full of Surface Minis that didn't make it out. And I just really hope they get into it. So I guess one can hope.
That's cool. Good wish. Cool.
How about your second one, AC? What else you got for us?
I'm not going to be a very positive person at the moment, but I am going to wish for it. I just want the Azure AD team to finish their commitments and about the Azure AD portal and the MSAL library. I wanted to just to finish the job that they said they were going to do. I think it's going back 4 years. It might be going back 3 years to when Vittorio Bertucci stood on stage at Build and announced MSAL and the V2 endpoints. The V2 endpoints are done, but I'll put it to you this way. And here's how I mean by my pessimistic side. There's a little group that I'm in, a discussion I'm in right now for one product talking about V2 of an SDK. And one of the things that they're talking about is MSAL. And they're like, you know, so how do you guys, what do you guys use, ADAL or MSAL for your authentication? My response was, I don't use either one. I generally roll my own and talk straight to the endpoints. I know it's maybe not being as productive, but I can't wait around for MSAL. And the Azure AD team still is working on the .NET version of MSAL. And the other implementations of it are going to come after that. I don't use .NET. I use Node and TypeScript and Node for all my server-side stuff and client-side. So I'm like, I understand how the flows work. I understand how the endpoints work. I can build it myself. And so I've got my own little library that I use. And the best way to sum it up was when he asked, they said something else about, yeah, but MSAL is coming and or it's going to be finished. Well, my response was I have more faith in having a productive output from the SETI program than I do from MSAL shipping.
Ouch. Oh, savage burn.
I've also got a very off-color comment that I made about it too, which I would love to share, but I'm afraid that we may lose a contingent of our listeners.
Fair enough. Well, I did say winter is coming. At least, yeah, winter does come every year, typically.
And on April 14th.
For a long time. And I was going to say end of the world. Yeah, but yeah, SETI program, that's a cool twist on it. I like that.
Yeah. How about you? What's your second one?
Okay, I'm going to go with the one that I had last year, but that I think we're both fully in agreement on that we just talked about. One dev model between for Office 365 composed of SPFX for the front end and Graph for the back end.
Mm.
And I think Graph's got enough momentum now, that bunch of Microsoft getting on board. I would love to see that team consolidate a little more and not be so spread out around the company in terms of just, you know, shipping the org chart type of thing. I think there's plenty of room for improvement there, but they're off to an awesome start on it. And yeah, and then like you, I think SPFX has got enough momentum now and they're doing enough things well that it could go into other areas of the platform.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I just don't do any SharePoint development anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I do a little bit. I mean, Hyperfish does. We do SPFX web parts for our offerings for our customers, but me personally, that's not me.
I like what they've done with it. I mean, there's lots of stuff that I would change with it, but I do like what they've done with it. And I'm with you. I mean, Microsoft Graph is the answer, but having one API on the back end that I talk to at Microsoft to get everything, I'd like it more.
Definitely.
One of those. So
yeah,
that's a good one. I like that one. I guess we're definitely in agreement. That's the one I was afraid of you were going to snipe me on.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't do that, would I? Maybe. Yeah. Fingers running. Nice. All right. What's your third, AC?
Oh my God, man. This is such a low-hanging fruit, and I don't understand. And I've never like complained about it in the past. It's one of those things like, surely this is going to get fixed. So my like portable laptop is my iPad. I have an iPad Pro with the keyboard and with the pencil, and I love it. It's my primary note-taking device. I know that you and I are on the same page on that side, but
yeah,
love it. I use the handwriting part or the pencil part more for like sketching and diagram and relationships than I do on taking notes, but I still use it to take notes on stuff. What drives me absolutely batty though is when I take my iPad to use as like a small portable thin laptop to be able to type and to do notes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And when I have it connected to the keyboard and I have it folded up to where the keyboard is like the bottom part and the laptop is sitting up, the thing that gets under my skin more than anything is that when I go to an app where I want to type something like OneNote and I touch on the main area to start typing, the soft version of the keyboard comes up and takes over half of the screen when I have the physical keyboard connected to it. And I've always got to be like, you guys got to wait for a second and say, nope, let me shrink it down and go back. How it understands that the keyboard is connected to it, because if I start typing, it's going to put the keys on there. So why show me the software keyboard, the soft-based keyboard all the time? It's like,
what is up with that?
I don't get it. It seems like a bug.
Seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's a good wish. Like, that would make using that combo and for those scenarios just much smoother and easier. I can see why you want that.
It'd make it more productive. I just don't get it. But
yeah, fair enough.
Easy. How about you? What's your third wish?
Okay, number three. It's a little more nerdy and a little more personal, I think, as well. Being an ISV that builds a application or service that we run ourselves, Microsoft to this day have still not managed to grapple with the fact of how to recognize the contribution we make to Azure in a commercial sense. And so by that, I mean, Azure sellers, people, Microsoft field people, are recognized on what they call ACR, which is Azure Consumed Revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they measure that is Azure Consumed Revenue per customer, right? In a multi-tenant SaaS-based model, that doesn't really work because we have no way to tell Microsoft out of, say, I don't know, let's say $50,000 spend, right? Mm-hmm. Out of a $50,000 spend, we have X many customers and each should be attributed, here are the customers, and each should be attributed this amount of money in terms of Azure Consumed Revenue. And so to Microsoft, we look like one Azure customer, not a bunch of Azure customers that are contributing to those customers. We still consume revenue, but it's not recognized against customers' accounts, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And well, so to them, they're accounting, you look smaller than you really are in terms, or your impact looks smaller than it really is.
Yeah. Or when, so for example, when we take on a new customer, to them, it looks like a $0 deal because we don't drive, or to them, it looks like we don't drive Azure consumed revenue for that customer.
Mm-hmm.
Where in actual fact, we do drive Azure consumed revenue, but we do it all in one subscription and on our account, on our Azure account, right? Whereas their revenue recognition models are all geared up so that if we deployed our solution in a virtual machine in the customer's Azure subscription, Bob's your uncle. Everything's happy. But it doesn't really work like that in the SaaS world. Like that's not a, it's not a SaaS-friendly model.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's like if they brought Netflix over, Netflix would be seen as one customer, where it's not really one customer. It's a, you got it, they got a ton of subscribers. Or if you at, like if you guys
pick
were
an right, enterprise, pick an enterprise app, like what's a good one to choose? Let's say Salesforce, right?
There you go. Yeah.
When if Salesforce came and ran on Azure, then it'd be one big account, right?
Mm.
But it wouldn't be attributed to each of those individual customers. And so it's hard to engage with Microsoft on that because what they want to see is individual customers consuming more Azure revenue. I just think it's a slightly ass about face model.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I mean, you guys are running at a razor thin. If you, and I don't know how you guys do this, so I'm not implying anything, but if you had your scale set up, your deployment set up at running at razor thin, so you could scale up if you needed to, but you don't have a lot of excess capacity, is I guess what I'm trying to say. You don't design to just have excess start capacity that's just not being used. Yeah. And if you picked up a new customer that had 100,000 users in it, that would tax your system as it is now. So you're going to level up and create a few more new nodes to be able to run a much more containers to scale up to it. You can
correct.
Your architecture does it, but now you're going to be spending more with this new customer because they're so much bigger, but they don't see that as a plus one.
Exactly. The other thing is,
makes sense.
When I'm building a SaaS app in Azure, my goal is to spend less consumed revenue.
Yeah.
Right. And so I get it. Microsoft want you to spend more on Azure, but that also drives weird behaviors too. Right. Yeah. So if I wanted to make Microsoft happy, I'd put our application into a virtual machine and put a whole lot of wild true loops in there to just chew CPU and chew more Azure consumed revenue. And I'd be a great Microsoft partner because I'm like making the customer spend more money. but that seems morally wrong to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Surely we should all be striving for less compute used. Isn't that a good, wouldn't that be better for humanity?
Yep, absolutely.
Anyway. When all you got a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So,
yeah, that's a good one though. I like that. Those are good wishes.
Yeah, likewise. I think good mix.
Yeah, mine was the SharePoint framework is the Office 365 extensibility model. Azure AD finishes what they've committed to doing with the Azure AD portal updates for V1 and V2, and they finish the MSAL library. And the iPad soft keyboard doesn't come up when the keyboard's attached.
Yep. And I got Microsoft gets back in the mobile game for note taking, one dev model for Office 365, and Azure evolves its goals for customers. I don't know what the right, yeah.
Yeah.
How it judges an ISV. There you go.
Those are good.
Cool. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back with our goals for the next year.
Inbox Zero is a thing of the past. We're all so inundated with email, and that's where Sanebox comes in. Think of it as an EMT for your email. As messages flow in, Sanebox does the triage for you. SaneLater sifts all distracting stuff out of your inbox so you can focus on only the important emails. That's just a taste. It also has nifty features like Sane Black Hole and Sane Reminders. Best of all, you can use Sanebox with any email client or phone, anywhere you check your email. See how Sanebox can magically remove distractions from your inbox with a free 2-week trial. Visit sanebox.com/MSCloudShow. Start your free trial and get a $25 credit.
All right, AC. This is kind of a new thing for this year, right? We, you know, last year we did wishes. That's cool. This year we're also going to do some goals for the next year for us. Some of these are business related, some of these are personal, but we just thought we'd throw them in there. And A, so that it sort of makes us a little bit like publicly accountable too. We can talk about our goals and revisit these and see how we're doing. So we've got three goals each. And instead of going back and forth, we're going to go through each of our three sequence, so to speak. So you're going to go first, then I'll go, but we're not going to go back and forth.
Yeah.
So what do you want to achieve? What do you want to focus on as goals for this year?
I have two professional ones that have an underlying common one. And then I have a personal one. In terms of like a fun one. So for the professional one, one of the challenges that I always struggle with is that, I mean, this is part because I guess you don't have a boss, then you don't report to somebody. And so it's really easy to get off track and everything. That one of the things that I have a hard time with is keeping an eye on the prize and shipping without a specific deadline. And part of that is because my business has multiple sources of revenue coming in. There's Voitanos that does a lot of work. And then I also have another kind of contract style job that I do that also pulls in a bunch of revenue. Mm-hmm. And I can schedule away all my time just great and a plan looks great, but then something kind of influences it and I get off track and it's hard for me to keep things in place. So I have an underlying thing of this year is to do a better job of just with all these different task management things that I've tried in the past, none of them seem to work because I'm trying a new model to it. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of that because everybody's got their own stuff that works. But for the two work things that I'm trying to get accomplished this year, or that I will get accomplished this year, my goals generally I focus on, for work-wise stuff, I focus on just 6 months at a time. So we say 2019, but these are both like really
8 months. First half.
Yeah. It's just because things change so fast, internal and external, that I
can take. Definitely.
So my first goal is, our listeners know I have a SharePoint framework, or I have a training business, and I have one course on the SharePoint framework. I sell multiple versions of it, but it's not finished yet, still under development. And I've spent the better part of this week planning out the foreseeable future on finishing the course. And so I have a good solid plan. And I'm just going to say, I'm not going to share the full details of it, but the course is going to be a content complete by the end of H1. At the same time, we are also working on a comprehensive growth and marketing revamp for the business. When I first created the business, it was, I need a website to kind of say what we do. And then it's, all right, well, how does email marketing kind of augment that? And then what is Facebook ads or social ads, paid acquisition, Google ads, LinkedIn ads, whatever. How does that kind of also augment that? And then how does very personalized experiences on the site, how does that influence it? None of it was done as a cohesive story or cohesive strategy. And it's all kind of been bolt on. And so the other piece of it too is planning out like just classic marketing stuff. What is the user story? What am I, how is one thing going to help augment other things that are in there? So if I know that you are you're coming from a large company background, and that means you're probably not going to be the one that's going to buy the course. Your management is going to end up doing it. There are things I can do on the site to kind of talk a little bit more about it and talk more specifically to you. Or if you're an individual and you're trying to switch from old SharePoint framework development to new SharePoint framework development, you're going to be buying the course, but I want to talk about how can I help you do that and make it be a better option than what the alternatives are. Mm. Stuff like that. So we've already got that. Both of those things are well in place. They're well moving along quite well. At least the plans for them are. And I just hope to get both of them implemented. I don't know if the marketing stuff is going to be fully done by the end of H1, but those are my two, I guess, H1 goals. And then the last one is more of a personal one. And it's, I'm just going to call it my personal maker project. And so I want to do something with more hardware dev. And we talked a little bit about it in the last episode or two episodes ago. And we talked about some of the stuff that I've been doing with like smart things and everything. I really want to create a little device that, and I'm going to call it Tanky, that is going to expose a lot of sensors and controls to smart things about my fish tank, about my aquarium. And who knows, I may even follow the same thing with the security system guy did that for what I'm using. And I may even just try and do a Kickstarter to get some PCBs printed and ship them out and be like, you know what, let's see if it works. I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but I want to at least build a prototype that is production enough for me to have fun with this. So
that's a really cool idea. That's something a bit different, right? It gets you out of your day-to-day business, gets you to think about something different. It's very much a maker project, right? So you're in your creative coding and making brain. And it just gets you out of your day-to-day. I think that's a great idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
So nice. Those are my goals for this year. Hopefully I make them. How about you? What are your three goals?
Mine are a little more esoteric than... I've got to have some measures on this, though. Because goals are not very good unless you can measure yourself against them, right? So I haven't quite figured out how I'm going to measure myself on these. Maybe you've got some ideas, but my three. First one, mindfulness and family and switching off. So one of the things I've really struggled with, especially this year, is this year's been carnage, absolute chaos, right? With selling the business and joining another business and all of that stuff going on, that I've really struggled with switching off when I go home. And I want to be more mindful of that. I want to disconnect more frequently and be more mindful when I am disconnected so that I'm there for my family and my kids and not being constantly distracted. I just don't do a very good job of that right now. So I'm not really sure how to measure that per se, but I have some ideas on how I can try and do that.
I definitely have a way you can measure it.
Okay.
Tell your wife you're working on it. Ask her in 6 months how you're doing.
That's a great idea. Okay. I like that. Actually, that's not a bad idea. I'll get Vicky to keep me honest. Mm-hmm. Okay, so goal number two, I've just titled it Leadership versus Management versus Maker. One of the things I really struggle with is where the boundaries lie between those three things. Makers build stuff, managers manage others, right? And leaders lead, they don't manage, right? So sometimes you can be one, two, or three of those things. And I often find myself in that position where I'm seen as a leader in the business, but I also have to manage stuff. And I also sometimes have to make stuff. And I really struggle with the differentiation of those and being good at the ones I feel I should be better at, right? So this year, I really want to focus on two of those. I really want to focus on the differentiation between leadership versus management, get out of management and more into leadership, and make that a hard delineation. Mm. But I don't want to give up being a maker as well. And so that kind of rolls into goal three that I'll talk about in a second. So maybe making will be in my own personal time and not in my business time to try and keep those things separate. But I've just really been thinking about this a lot, that leadership is very different than management. Managers rearrange the deck chairs and make sure that the job gets done. Whereas leaders inspire others to be better and do better and inspire people towards a common goal. So I want to get better at that. Again, I'm not sure how to measure that yet, but we'll see. Goal number three, personal project, launch it. So for a while now, I've had this idea banging around in the back of my head about a cloud market share analysis tool that I want to build. And I want to launch that.
In what way? Like, what do you mean, between Azure, AWS, and or just more and Google, yeah, or more generic?
Yeah, I don't want to get into all the specifics about what I want to do, but my goal is to launch a site that you can go to and see how each of the cloud providers are stacking up against one another.
Okay, I know where you're going with this. Yeah, we've talked a little bit about it.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it.
I've got loads of ideas. I've got half the code is written. I just got to get it done. So it's been sitting on the back burner for a while. And now I want to finish it off and get it done. And I feel like I'm just lacking a few bits and pieces of that project, but I think it's pretty doable. That'd be my personal project, hence the Maker After Hours thing.
I like that. That's really good.
Cool. So just in recap, you've got finish your SPFX course in H1, Voitonis growth and marketing revamp, and your personal Maker project for hardware development, perhaps.
Yeah, your goals are the being able to switch off, being more mindful, mindfulness and family.
Yep.
Leadership versus management versus Maker, where really focusing on leadership and management and the work life, and on the personal project, the kind of the cloud, just call the cloud market share analysis.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. I like them.
Yeah. Let's do a check-in at 6 months or something like that and revisit these and see how we're going towards them.
I like it. We'll do it.
Awesome. Right. AC, great show, but we're not done yet. We actually have to blaze through these because I have a hard stop shortly, but let's hear from one of our fantastic sponsors and we'll be back with the picks.
CJ's Hyperfish automates the collection of user profile information from users and organizational directories such as Office 365, SharePoint, Active Directory, and HR systems. The secure service supports on-premises, hybrid, and online environments. Bring your directory to life at hyperfish.com.
AC's Voitonis delivers on-demand video-based training for developers on the latest SharePoint extensibility model from Microsoft in his course, Mastering the SharePoint Framework.
Okay, favorite part of the show, AC. What do you got for us this week?
We're going to do our listener pick first because that's the one that is going to get the free solo key. This one is for Ben Stejink. So Ben sent in a pretty cool link. I've heard of this before. I've seen little pieces of it. I've not seen a full-blown site that does, kits and everything you can use. But what this does, you can basically buy these lighting kits for different Lego sets, and they augment your Lego set to have lights in them. So for example, I'm working on the Porsche Lego right now, the Porsche Technics 911, and it's got headlights, it's got a dome light on the inside and all that stuff, tail lights.
These look really cool.
Yeah. So this was a really good addition. So we're going to, Ben, awesome submission there. We will be contacting you and getting a solo key.
Yeah, we've started sending them out. We've sent out our first 2 weeks worth of solo keys.
Yep.
And Ben will be getting another one. So we're all geared up.
Yeah. We're curious when those actually get to where they're going, because one's going to the UK and one's going to Israel. So it's going to take it's going to take some time for them to get there.
Yeah, exactly. We will see.
Yeah.
Ben, we will be in touch. We know where you live. It's okay. Yeah.
This will be easy because he lives in the area. So we have lunch every week. So
hand delivery. There you go.
There you go. Hand delivery. For my real pick, though, I started to mention this last week. I'll mention it this week, though. It's a book called Bad Blood, and it's a business book, and it's all about the Theranos story. About they did blood testing, and it is absolutely incredible hearing the backstory of how this company went through this incredible history, and finally, ultimately, ended up to where the CEO has now been. The company is now defunct. They've been liquidated, and the CEO is now being either the SEC or in a federal court has charged her with fraud and conspiracy.
Wow.
Yeah, it's epic. It's absolutely
based epic. On your recommendation, I bought the audiobook. I haven't started it yet, but it's in my queue.
Yeah. If you've read the book Hatching Twitter, it's kind of like that, except Twitter's still around.
I really enjoyed Hatching Twitter. I thought it was a great book.
Yeah.
But okay. My pick is a little more physical, I guess. Well, no, I guess a book is physical. This is the iFixit ProTech Toolkit. If you're like me, when you're trying to do a job, you can never, they've always got one of those little screws with the hex thing on there, or there's a bunch of weird tools that you need for DIY computer projects and things like this. This toolkit is from the guys and girls at iFixit, who do all the teardown videos and replacement parts for MacBooks and stuff like that. And they do a great site, but this is one of the toolkits that they sell with like all of the bits you'd ever want to be able to do these sort of DIY projects. And if you're anything like me, when you want a tool, you usually can't find that tool. And this is a nice altogether toolkit. Keep all your stuff in one place. And when you're going to do your DIY projects, they've got like 64 screwdriver bits that, you know, for basically everything you could ever think of, and like spreaders and like suction cups to pull screens off phones, and spudges to like separate things, and knives, and just all sorts of good stuff. This oh, and awesome. And a static strap, stuff like that. It's a really nice set.
This is really awesome.
I got given it for Christmas and I love it.
This is cool, man. Nice pick.
Yeah, and it's a reasonable price. It's decent quality too, so it's a good kit.
Cool pick.
Yeah, right on. Great show. Thanks for your goals and wishes and picks, of course, I see. And we will see everybody next week.
Absolutely. Same time, we will touch base again in 6 months on these goals and see how we're doing.
10-4, rubber ducky.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show. We'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as an MP3 or WAV file and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up for our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.